We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Good morning and welcome to The Public File. I'm Doug Thomas, and my guest for this segment is Barry Axias. He is the CEO of Voice of the Youth. Good morning, Barry.
Good morning, Doug.
And it's all about passion, patience, and consistency. I know that because it's right there on your homepage at voiceoftheyouth.org.
Yes, Voice of the Youth, passion, patience, consistency. Something that I came to understand, that I came to acknowledge when I was going through my transition from being an individual that was definitely caught up into the street life, changing my way. And as we talk offline about the pandemic, having my pandemic twice.
Right.
And the first time being in 2008 and then creating the Voice of the Youth outside of that.
You were prepared for this because you've already been through a couple of personal pandemics,
yes,
as you mentioned, right?
Yes. At the same time, a good friend of mine, his name is Derek, and we had worked at a group home in 2006. 2007. And he would always hype me up. It was like a Don King of sorts, kind of hype man. He would always tell me how prolific and how profound my words were when we would do these workshops and how I would navigate in these group homes that we were working, as him being a social worker.
Right.
And I would be lead staff. It's funny how certain words from certain individuals that you would never think would even mesh together. He was this older white guy. And here I am, this younger African-American guy. Yeah, I was just kind of looking at him like, all right, okay, Derek, I know I'm cool and good, but get out of here. Who would have ever thought that those words of inspiration and encouragement would be something that led me into 2008 when I decided to kind of change my life around, being in a mix of one life and another life, kind of flip-flopping, but never really saying I'm just going to just be positive all the way through regardless of all of the obstacles in my way, that those words would hold found into my transition, into my journey.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. When you're a kid, you always hear, you know, you get older, you get wiser, and you're like, yeah, what do you old people know? But then, hey, guess what? You get older and you get wiser, right?
Yeah, that's the beautiful thing about it. And that's why I think that a program like Voice of the Youth is such a powerful program of mentorship for young men and young women. And having to be able to have my own destiny be written by me, I didn't feel like I wanted to attach myself with a bigger organization. I saw it as a grassroots movement. To be able to have more of those one-on-one, more of those personal relationships with young people as they traveled and experienced through life. And it wasn't just about me mentoring them at a certain age. It was like, let's go outside of college. Let's go inside to adulthood, where I find that adulthood stage, when you talk about the 18 to 19 to 21-year-old stage, is where we a lot of times find ourselves lost in the sauce if you don't have an occupation,
right,
or a desire or a passion that kind of creates whatever we feel that we're going to see in the next 5 or 10 years. A lot of what Voice of the Youth is we really try to start our kids off from their lowest or even highest point, but walk with them through the angles of life. It's not just, okay, you've aged out. It's just you're a lifer. So a lot of the young people that I've mentored have really become my family. A lot of them becoming nieces, nephews, or even daughters and sons. So it's almost like a growing concept for an extended family.
Let's get into a little background, Barry. When did you guys get started, and what is the mission of Voice of the Youth?
2008, when I just had an epiphany, having my own daughter as well, seeing that the lifestyle that I had chosen to live was not going to leave a positive legacy.
Right.
I went cold turkey. It's almost like someone who's addicted to any kind of drugs or alcohol. I was addicted to a lifestyle of money, fast cars, and just really dangerous living. September 2008, I decided to let it all go. Lost money, lost jewelry, lost girls, lost friends, lost cars, but I felt relieved because I didn't feel like I had anybody watching behind my back that wanted to harm me or hurt me. And I also felt I could walk into a household with my daughter being a whole man, not being a man that had to hide behind a lie saying, oh yeah, I work construction, daughter, when I'm doing something else.
Right.
I always had a kinship for working with young people and a giving back kind of facilitating style with my father at my young age, taking care of my mother. My mother being mentally ill at a particular time, all through my youth and my adulthood. So I always saw that my father having his loving spirit from my mom, who he was then divorced by, taking care of her, was always something that kind of resonated in me. And I always say that when you are foundationally built with bricks and not sand, regardless of how far you move away from the foundation in some of your younger years, as long as that foundation is built on bricks, you will eventually come back to it. So it was always good to have my father, who was a very key and integral part of my life. Though me and him didn't see eye to eye, his example of leadership in a household and how you're supposed to move as a man always allowed me to, one, be a great father, and two, know that my commitment to giving back and to making people better in life was always something that I was supposed to do. So I basically inherited his goodwill, and I put it into the voice of the youth. And that's kind of how everything was created. And our mission really is to bring the greatness and the excellence out of all our young people that are in our program. We want them to shine brighter than they can ever shine.
Absolutely. You touched on this a little bit too. Mentorship. How important is mentorship, especially during a pandemic?
Whew. One of our greatest mentors, right, are our parents.
Right.
But they're not cool enough sometimes, right? Or they may be too cool for you and other people's eyes. They're super cool, but, you know, you're receiving hell by them. You don't necessarily look at your parents as some of the mentors, but in reality, the first mentors that we really actually have.
Yep.
My father once said to me, if you hang out with losers, you'll be a loser.
Right.
I never resonated that because I'm like, these dudes are the coolest dudes ever. What are you talking about?
Right.
I slowly found that as I got more mature, what he was talking about. I think the unfortunate part of me not having enough real models, as I call them, not role models, but real models in my life outside of my father led me to a life of criminal activity and bad behavior because that was more exciting. You know, I didn't have a lot of older dudes telling me, hey, go to school, you know, stick with sports. I had a lot of folks who were like, yo, come on, come help me do this. Come help me do this. Let's run the streets. So I think that with the mentorship, those people that circle around you that are nurturing you and your community or outside your community, whether it's family or friends or older individuals that you are impressionable with, watching them, it plays a heavy part. I want to be an example of what you're supposed to be 10 years from now. So I can't be that individual that's hustling drugs or doing other petty crimes, white collar crimes, and then trying to turn around and tell young people, don't be like me. They're like, what? Don't be like you.
Right.
Looks like your life is going great.
Yeah.
So it's about being an example of leadership. And I think that in this pandemic, being a valiant steward of kindness, resilience, and fighting for liberation for all people and fighting against the wickedness, I think those examples I've definitely laid out in this pandemic. When you think about the George Floyd situation, when you think about the lack there of foods and access, our Voice of the Youth program has been involved in anything and everything that happened over the summer and during this pandemic to make sure we support our community.
Yeah, and you speak from experience. You know exactly what you're talking about. So if anybody tries to give you a hard time, you're like, oh no, I've lived this life. I've been through it. You can listen to me. I know what I'm talking about, right?
It's like, I got book smarts, and then I got a lot of street smarts, and then I got this thing called common sense that we somehow don't always use.
Right.
And I'm from the generation that didn't get made up with my world with social media. I came from a real era. Like, who you were was who you were.
Right.
And it didn't matter where you were from. It was like the way you stood as a person. It really spoke volumes. You couldn't just make yourself up on social media and then someone try to test you. And it's like, oh, okay, that person is not exactly who they portrayed to be. It's from a real core era. And I think a lot of the problems for our young people moving in today, it's they don't know what's really real.
Right.
They live in a fantasy land and they're sold it. Like, we were sold it, but it was like KMUCV. We could shut that off.
Yeah.
And we wanted to be outside all the time.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
And some of the characters that I dealt with, bad or good or indifferent, they were real life people. And you could really see who they were and you could detect if they were fraudulent. Nowadays, you don't know what's what. And I think that loses our young people because they don't know what real is. They don't understand the essence of being real, being your real true self.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone's busy looking at a screen all day, whether it's their phone or their computer or their TV. I'm telling you, we're all addicted to screens, right?
Right. It's addiction. It's like you can become famous off a TikTok post. You can become famous off a hashtag. And unfortunately, unlike when I was growing up, death was never glorified, right? Death was a sign that it's over. Death wasn't, we're going to create my world, JoJo. We're not going to create JoJo's destiny. We're not doing all this empowerment through death. We're going to grieve and hope that death doesn't come again to our young life. But nowadays, it's almost one of the things that kind of frustrates me in the work that I do, that death has been gravitated in some sense of honor, where before it was looked upon like death is the last thing that we want to see. We want to be able to grow out of some of these mistakes that we've made.
Right. You're listening to The Public File. I'm Doug Thomas, and my guest this morning is Barry Axias. He is the CEO of Voice of the Youth, online at voiceoftheyouth.org. We're going to get to better times, Barry, so let's talk a little bit about your pop-up events and Summer Nights of Impact.
Oh, man. Love Summer Nights of Impact. It came in the midst of Stephon Clark passing away, getting killed by police in 2018 in a little area of Meadowview. That was great because we not only were able to give joy to the community during such a tragic moment, we were able to hire 25 young people in that community, outside of that community.
Nice.
To me, employment, giving young people something to do is profound. And on top of that, what I love to do, and when we talk about team building, we were able to galvanize those young people as well as other outside young people that were probably volunteers because they saw the work that the other young people were doing, to be able to create team building components where the kids, where we could do it, we had bowling events, swimming events, just like activities with just pizza and role play, training mechanisms like financial literacy, college development, so many different things to kind of bring this together with our young people that just made it more of a job experience. It made it a summer life experience where the employees weren't just being employed. They were also having fun, developing skills, and becoming better people, right? So one of the powerful things that I love to do is when my young people are in college, I have so many of those young people that come back to college, and it's hard for them to find jobs. They've been gone throughout the year, and to be able to have a surplus of work for them so they don't have to go apply to another job. They can go right, as they like to say, Unc or Pops. Pops, I need a job. Come on. You know what I mean?
Right.
I already know your resume. You've been in my program for however long. You know what to do. You volunteered and put them in a position of leadership where now their resume looks 10 times better. By the time they get to 25, they can sit there and talk about how they worked a program where you had a service over 8,000 people in a summer, giving out free food, doing workshops, doing big time events. And the community pop-ups, again, another thing that came out of tragedy, when there was incidents that was happening at the mall in 2018, again, I saw this as something, not of a challenge, but an obstacle that created an opportunity. So I talked to a few of my community organizations, preferably Sierra Health Foundation. As I was on the ground looking at all the chaos that was happening at the mall, I said, well, there's a particular reason why things are happening at the mall. We are not giving these kids any opportunities. And from the Summer Night Lights of Impact, where the Summer Night Lights of Impact is in one area, then it's in another area, and it's in another area throughout Sacramento, I just used the same idea, or like I say, the black blueprint, and say, well, why don't we create these pop-ups throughout the city that circulates to other areas that give young people things to do and their families, so the families can be included as well as job opportunities. So that created a infrastructure that in 2018 to 2019, we had zero youth homicides here in Sacramento, and the community pop-ups was one of the bigger reasons why that happened.
What's involved with the Voice of the Youth Employment Readiness Program?
Well, that's just basically a summer program that I work with one of my community partners, Dana Maisha, who has Escape Velocity, and we put our young people through training a regimen. We talk about doing resume building, interviews, job skills, and just really put them in a place where our young people always talk about they want a job because they want money, and they want money, and they don't know how to get a job or they don't know how to keep a job. So what we do is activate their job skills, and because where we're at Florence Square, we're able to kind of allow our young people to do some work for a few weeks with other different jobs, and we pay them for their job training on the training at the job they're at to kind of expose them to what it looks like to really have to work. So that is a summer program that we do every year. We had to do it a little bit differently this summer, but still was very impactful for our young people.
Are you looking for sponsors or volunteers?
I'm always looking for sponsorship. I'm always looking for volunteers. I think that when we talk about the ideas of Black Lives Matter, the concept is beautiful, but it also falls into a lot of the grassroots organizations like myself that have really created a balance where we're doing a lot of the physical work that doesn't always get looked upon because our organizations aren't as big as maybe some like the Boys and Girls Club or things of that nature.
Right.
But the impact, as I say, is real. The impact is so powerful and so real that we've got kids out into college. We've got kids to be better adults. We've got kids to get their grades up. We've helped kids through traumatic situations. When we talk about traumatic situations, the mental health work that we're doing with our kids during this pandemic is absolutely amazing.
Absolutely.
So we're always looking for sponsorship that helps develop the work, because as people know with a nonprofit, especially when you're a grassroots nonprofit that knows your work is better with smaller numbers and a smaller capacity, though we do large groups, when we do events like Summer Nights of Impact, community pop-ups, we deal with larger groups, but a foundation of the young people that we serve doesn't go outside 30 at a time, right? We may have 50, depending on what kind of activity we do, but we have a circulation of 30-some young people that we're working on, moving them out to the next round, bringing another 30-some people in. Some folks don't really look at the capacity as being important, but this is the important work. Because I've always said the reason why our schools fail our kids, especially African-American kids, because we learn differently, is because you have the ratio that's crazy. 1 to 30? How are you going to teach a kid when you have one teacher to 30 kids? It's almost impossible. But we have a great team. We've done stellar work. This is 13 years. So any kind of support, you can always go on to PayPal, the number one, voiceofthe youth@gmail.com. That's the number one, voiceofthe youth@gmail.com. Because we're always doing groundbreaking work within the community, outside the community. That's always putting our young people to understand that giving back matters, and that it's important to be a positive impact and a legacy in your community.
Our listeners can go to voiceofthe youth.org, make a direct donation, find out more about you guys, and you got an Amazon Smile program for Voice of the Youth.
Yeah, yes, we do. And the sad part about it, one of the bigger things that we always do, we have our college tour, and we weren't able to do it last year because of COVID.
Right.
And this year, we're probably not going to be able to do it again. And we have a big fundraiser for that, which is our crab feed, which would have been our 8th annual crab feed. I'm still trying to figure out how we can maneuver it to maybe do a drive-through. But those are the things that you miss, the fun things like that.
Because right.
It was always fun. The young kids did the crab feed. And then a week later, they're on tour in San Diego State, Long Beach State, UC San Diego, and UCLA. And the most powerful thing about those colleges that we went to, either we had a student that's a part of the Voice of the Youth program there, or we had alum that graduated from these colleges. We talk about groundbreaking work. In 2014, one of my mentees became my daughter, Janera from San Diego State. We compiled this idea of creating our own college tour. And that's kind of how we started our crab feed. Because for those who don't know, Voice of the Youth also has Boy Cafe that turned into Seriously Delicious Eats. And that's now becoming a revenue builder to help support our program, where we not only employ 3 young people and doing pop-ups throughout the city. So we got young people cooking in the kitchen as well. We figure out ways to make sure we make it happen. We talk about entrepreneurship. That's one of the different things that we have embarked in the last 4 or 5 years, showing our young people other ways to make money, right? I can't deny the simple facts of how to go on TikTok or how to make money on YouTube or Instagram, but I do definitely know there's other ways outside that if you don't got that talent. And so we put the money on the wood, and we created Seriously Delicious Eats. And when we talk about Caribbean-style flavors and food, we have our young people not only serving but also cooking these delicious meals that you can get every first and third. If you want to support the Voice of the Youth, every first and third at 2251 Florin Road at the African Marketplace. So that's another place where folks who want to support our movement, support our community, can come support our young people and check us out at Seriously Delicious Eats.
You're making me hungry.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
hey, right. Come on out, Doug, man. I got these jerk chickens. I got plantain. We got some stuff that folks really would be surprised. And right now, one of my new missions, we talk about this equity that are now being a part of the conversation for African Americans. I'm really looking at a spot where I could do a job training component as well as create revenue for this youth program in this capacity of Seriously Delicious Eats, and we're looking for a building and a space that we can not only keep our young people employed, giving them great service skills, but getting them into the culinary industry, which was an industry when I found myself lost and still working into figuring out how this Voice of the Youth component would work. I got into ARC's culinary program, which was pretty much a lifesaver. All my chefs over there really pushed me to get my certificate to really show my culinary skills. And I just utilized that with the Voice of the Youth when we first really started getting actual real great grants. We had a food program in our communities where we were teaching young people as well as adults how to cook healthy foods. It was called Simply Healthy Cooking. And that was a 4-year program. But unfortunately, with programs like that, they only get so much time. But that was one of the greatest times I had when we talk about Voice of the Youth really becoming an entity and really getting itself put on the map. It was because we not only traditionally connected the food deserts that we have in our communities with the young people that are lacking, right? We really showed them other ways of how to eat healthier without just going to be fast food junkies.
But while we're on the subject of food, I understand that I understand that you are one of the three black chefs. Is that still going on?
Yes, the three black chefs through the pandemic, the Voice of the Youth, I stood up, I talked to my guys, I say, hey, this is a very critical moment. And I would love to say that we were probably the set off in our city of Sacramento to really start compiling food and serving over like 20,000 families after the standpoint between March and June. When we talk about funding and things of that nature, we had to slow down the process, but we're about to actually start back up in March. But that, again, was another time where we had our young people on the couch, our young people not knowing what they were going to do, our families not knowing what we were going to do, and us just putting that together, serving families twice in a week for those several months. It was powerful. It was beautiful. And again, getting our young people in a moment where they were probably stressed out, showing that they have good work ethic and they were worthy of that honor. And it was an honor to be able to feed that many people and the love that was given from that. You had everybody coming from all over Sacramento just to come out, not only hang out with the three black chefs, but get some great cuisine. Chef Mike, myself, and Chef Will, we just did a phenomenal job just putting our culinary talents. You got Chicago-based, you got Louisiana-based, and you have Caribbean-based, and really making something memorable for our families as well as giving out food. So we're going to be coming back in March. I'm excited about that.
I can't believe this, but we're out of time already. But what a pleasure it's been chatting with you this morning, Barry. Barry Axius is the CEO of Voice of the Youth. You can check him out online at voiceoftheyouth.org. Thank you so much for doing what you do, sir.
I appreciate it, Doug. Thank you.
This has been The Public File. If you'd like us to cover your nonprofits, email sacpsa@entercom.com, sacpsa@entercom.com. I'm Doug Thomas. Stay safe, stay connected, and thanks for listening.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.